You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi.
I got a package.
I'm sorry, I need to put on a mask. Okay, sorry, what?
I got a package.
Okay. Do you mean like sign for it or something? If so, I need to get my own pen, you know, gerbies.
But I got a package.
You can actually just leave it right there, just because we're a little too close right now. And also, I was reading an article that two variants of the coronavirus in California have actually now joined together and mutated to make like one like super coronavirus variant. So I just don't think it's really great that we're this close to each other right now. So we just want to leave it there, like maybe sanitize it just a little bit. It's a weighted blanket that I got from Amazon. Thank you so much. Blessed day.
Broadway, Broadway, in all of its glory.
We all have a memory.
We all have a story.
Was there an understudy?
Or did the show stop?
Wait.
Did you see Barbara before she shot to the top?
Cool.
Join us as we revel in our reverie. It's my Broadway memory.
That jazz.
Why, hello.
Hey.
Hey. I'm Michael.
I'm Remy, and welcome to My Broadway Memory. You know, Valentine's Day may be over, but we are still celebrating the Lerv here on My Broadway Memory. We got special guests, Broadway power couple Orfeh and Andy Carl will be joining us in just a little bit.
Oh my gosh, yes, we are looking forward. We are so looking forward to this double date.
Wait, also, may I just say, when we were filming that opening sketch, the UPS guy sketch, like a la Legally Blonde, we didn't have like a box in our apartment. So we just had this apple crate, but then I went downstairs to our trash room and lo and behold, there was a UPS box we could have used, but alas.
I mean, we used my apple crate box. The UPS guy was fashionable. You also saw my quarantine bod, which we love. Thanks, you, Alana.
Alana, excuse me.
Yes, no, thank you. We love. And we're so glad that you're joining us, and we love to do these cold opens for you focus on keeping Broadway alive. So specifically, you know, let's talk about the show. My Broadway memory for those first time viewers is about keeping Broadway alive until the theater returns, and probably when the theater returns too.
Yeah.
But us and our amazing guests will discuss our favorite unheard stories, either by picking a playbill at random or from their collection, or referencing memorabilia that they've stolen from sets, or honestly just kibitzing over a memory.
I mean, the stories that have been told in My Broadway Memory have sometimes never been told publicly before. So you really do get a special like inside look at the world of Broadway from those who are in the thick of it. And I know Andy and Orfeh are bound to have some really fun ones as well.
Yeah, so if you'd like to keep up with news and future guests, please give us a follow on the social media.
So on Instagram and Facebook, we are at My Broadway Memory, and on Twitter, we are at My B-Way Memory.
Yes, please follow us.
Yes, and before we bring on our amazing guests, you know, we have a very special regular segment of ours. We've been airing this every week. It's called Divas Do Weather.
I don't know how we get these people.
I have no idea. Everyone has a lot of free time right now. And, you know, as far as weather goes, Divas Do Weather. We had a little snow day here in New York City today.
I know, and it doesn't matter if you're Celine Dion, who we've had on the show. It doesn't matter if you're who else have we
Bernadette
had? Bernadette. Like, people make time for us, and it's really so incredibly inspiring. And
They love the weather.
And they love the weather. They're all meteorologists, apparently. But today, I can't believe we got her. We got the number one, the diva extraordinaire, Patti LuPone.
How's the weather out there, Patti?
I'm with you. I'm with you.
Thanks, Patty. Love you, doll. We want to give a big shout out to Christina Bianco, who has lent her talents to our special weekly weather segment. We love you.
And in all seriousness, weather-wise, sorry to get real for a second, but extreme winter weather has affected many parts of the country this week, especially in Texas. I'm sure many of you have seen and read about this. Many have lost power, water, and have limited access to supplies. And there are a bunch of different organizations you can look up in order to help those affected. But we wanted to quickly highlight an organization near and dear to our hearts and the Broadway community, and it's called Covenant House. Covenant House is an organization that provides safe shelter and resources to homeless youth in New York City, the country, and also the world. Each year, the Broadway community actually comes together to sleep out on the street in solidarity with homeless youth, and also we end up raising hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Yeah, I think our sleep out this year, we raised the Broadway community raised $600,000, over $600,000, which is absolutely wild. And the Texas location has been affected by outages and lack of supplies and could use any help you can offer, whether you live nearby and can actually donate things like water bottles or even donating funds online. So for more info on how you could help, there's that link. Thank you to our producer, Alan, for putting it down there. Please visit covenanthousetexas.org.
Yes, but I think it's time to bring on our special guest. So our very first guest is Andy Carl. Broadway credits include Saturday Night Fever, Wicked, 9 to 5, Legally Blonde, Jersey Boys, The Mystery of Edwin Drood, Pretty Woman, and he has received Tony nominations for his performances in Groundhog Day, Rocky, and On the 20th Century. He's also received numerous other award honors, including the Olivier and the Drama Desk.
Yes, and our second guest is Orfe. Broadway credits include Pretty Woman, Saturday Night Fever, The Gershwin's Fascinating Rhythm, Footloose, and Legally Blonde, for which he got a Tony, Drama Desk, and Outer Critics Circle nomination. Off-Broadway credits include Love, Loss, and What I Wore, The Great American Trailer Park Musical, and Love, Janice. She also has numerous film and TV credits and an extensive recording career. Please welcome Orfe and Andy Carl! Yay!
Oh my God.
Yay!
I didn't even know you guys were doing that opener. That was awesome.
We wanted to surprise you. We like to keep it themed to our guests, if possible.
I just wore the shirt, like, didn't mean to wear the shirt. The hat I saw after you guys did the opener, but I wore this shirt today for some reason, and it just is, it's synonymous.
I love it.
I think it was serendipitous you wore it.
Yes,
absolutely.
Is that your UPS hat?
This was a facsimile. Greg Barnes, he gave us another copy of our outfits for a bit we did at some event. I think it was Easter Bonnet.
Yeah, which and I photographed, actually.
Yes. So we now have the Paulette and Kyle costumes at the
like
ready.
Forever, yeah. just in case.
Yeah.
You know, you could get bored one day and you just want to.
You obviously need a loan out. So whenever you want to do that bit again, just call me up. And
Love that. I love that so much. And you'll be on speed dial. So thank you.
We could have used you yesterday. We couldn't find a pair of khaki shorts for him to wear. So we improvised.
You can borrow it, just wash it and return it.
Yep. Yes, I love that. And Orfe, do you have anything Legally Blonde that's laying around your place where it's in a storage box somewhere that
You know what? Here's the thing. I had the boots. I had Paulette's boots from Bend and Snap, and they disintegrated. I mean, listen, they were the most glorious, the most well-made, the most brilliant, but eventually they just started to peel. And I before they went another further, as we like to say, I donated them. So I don't know who has them, but somebody has them.
All right. I hope that they're being taken good care of.
I'm sure that person took better care of them than I did, because I should have like oiled them up and kind of kept them, you know, lubricated. But
sure.
But before they were, seriously, I couldn't wear them.
That's just a good rule for a lot of things,
it's,
really.
Yeah. Sounds like a great Saturday night, regardless.
Yeah, exactly. As I was saying it, as it was coming out of my mouth, I was like,
that's what she said.
Well, also though, may I just say, in terms of shoes in New York City, shoes have much less of a life when you live in New York City than a normal city.
The salt, the snow,
the salt,
the
snow,
the salt.
I will tell you,
rats.
I will tell you, this is funny that you should say this. I Miami's really tough on shoes as well.
Yeah.
And there was a time we were walking on Lincoln Road, and I suddenly fell, and I thought, oh God, something's wrong. And my shoes, the rubber sole on my shoes literally disintegrated as I was walking through the streets. I literally went down like 2 inches. You know, I like my heels. So all of a sudden I like went, and I'm going, well, I don't drink. I don't do drugs. I'm not tripping. So literally my rubber soul.
And luckily she was, it happened right in front of a Payless shoe store. The only time she bought it was Payless.
Thank God for Payless.
Payless is actually our sponsor today.
Yes,
so,
sponsored by Payless.
Okay. But they saved me. I didn't have to walk home barefoot. So
that's good.
I still have the shoes that Payless saved.
I'm telling you, Payless makes a mean shoe.
They did.
They do. Built to last.
And look.
And they didn't disintegrate.
We love that. And as long as you're paying less for them, that's all that matters.
It wasn't so less. I have news for you. It's a misnomer.
I love it. I know things are weird right now, you know, with COVID and so many things, but did you guys do anything special for Valentine's Day?
Yes, we did. It was the first night that indoor dining was at 25% in New York City. Uh-huh. And we literally were lucky enough that our glorious friend Roya, who is the grand dame of the Odeon in New York City, gave us a reservation, and we were able to spend the first night of indoor dining at our favorite restaurant in New York City. So that's where we were.
Audience of
that's yummy.
Yeah, and we ate everything.
We had the other night. Where did we go? We went to Lafayette.
We did a belated Valentine's Day dinner because we couldn't get a reservation at this one place. It's called the Lafayette Grand Bakery and Cafe.
It's amazing.
It's on Lafayette and Great Jones.
I know exactly where that is. Yes, yes.
It's like a big industrial building, and they've been making, I don't want to say headlines, but they've been well known during the pandemic for having this like winter village outside.
Yes, where I know exactly what you're talking about.
And you get your own little private igloo thing.
Is it like a little one of those clear plastic ones?
Yes.
Okay. So I've seen those in other places.
And the goodies are very good.
They are. And I highly recommend, they're doing like a winter like prefix menu. I highly recommend, make a reservation online.
Amazing.
And it was very warm. You know, you had your own little fireplace and everything.
We also ate everything.
That's
what you
got to
do. It's like,
that's why the rest of the day I spend it on the
treadmill. Some restaurant shout outs and Payless.
Yes. Sponsored by Payless.
So when you're walking in your Payless shoes
to the Odeon,
I will say, if anyone is, yes, thank you, Payless.
Yes.
The shoe source. That's right. The source. Oh, bye, Jorge. She exploded.
She's checking her shoe. I have to go save our other dog, too.
He's going
to
go bring the other one.
All right. Hold on. Remy's going to get ours. Yeah. Well, Remy's going to get ours.
She has her favorite Christmas.
How? Oh. Wait, what's her name?
This is Trixie.
Trixie!
Yes. Oh, who is this?
This is Sandwich.
Sandwich the Sandwich.
That's
the Sandwich. The dog in the world. Does Sandwich speak?
Samson.
That's
Samson, Trixie, and Sandwich.
Now, so cute.
Honestly, since we're dog parents, we know that Valentine's Day, it has to incorporate our whole family. So.
All right, Missy.
She didn't incorporate nothing.
Like, Trixie.
I'm tired of wearing a shirt.
That's hysterical.
Know,
Trixie,
she's
you know better.
She's 12. She's great.
Oh. Yeah. A long life.
Yes.
What a cute.
Looks like she's not. So, you know.
And many more.
Yes.
And many more.
Look at him.
All right.
What a baby.
I'll let you go, bud. I woke him up. Say bye.
He's the best boy. Do your dogs, do they get camera shy? Like, if you point your phone at them, do they look away?
No. They are right in the grill. They're like this.
You taught them well, then.
They're naturals.
Just like mommy and daddy.
They know who they live with.
Well, I don't know what it is. It's like I'll point my camera at him and he will literally go like this. And I get it. You know, his dad's a photographer. I understand. He doesn't want to be in the family business. It's fine. But he, you know, it's like it's a shunda on the family. I mean, honestly, it's a shunda on the family. Let me tell you.
Well, maybe he's being coy. Maybe he's showing his best side.
His best side, exactly. That's
cool. Yes.
I went to high school with a girl named Ashunda.
But she shouldn't.
But she shouldn't. Ashunda, no, should.
It's okay. We're teaching him Yiddish. It's okay. He's getting better.
I am getting better. So friends, before we get into our like specific Broadway memories, we actually have some fan questions for you.
Yes.
Oh my goodness.
And you know,
okay. So this is from Pamela JMCH. They want to know if you had the opportunity to play a character that the other played, who would it be and why?
Oh God, that's so easy. I would play Phil Connors just to be able to say I did it once.
Yeah.
Because I don't think anyone, I've said this before, and you know, someone said it was like, humble as always. I don't have to be humble about Andy's genius. There's no reason to be humble about his genius.
I'm not.
I would literally want to play that just to see if I can get through it, because I don't think anybody else on earth can. So
it seemed exhausting, but yeah, so fun.
It was amazing.
Like, I didn't say amazing. Rocky, because I can take those hits. I can handle that. But all the ties and the tying and the not looking in the just the hole and the rotating and the hanging from the ceiling and the I would want to know. I would feel like I was really gifted if I could do that role.
Well, thank you. I'd be gifted to play any of her roles because she actually makes them classics. You know, when I first saw her in Saturday Night Fever as Annette, and one of those people that just like when she lights up a stage, when she opens her mouth and you're just like, oh my God. So there's no way I can play any of her roles. But the most fun one would probably be Paulette from Legally Blonde.
I mean, of course. You know.
Maybe since you all have the costumes for Halloween, you can switch costumes this year.
I think we tried it.
We tried it. Did nothing fit anyone.
That's amazing.
We did try.
Ham sandwiches.
Yeah.
Look at you, like, you are the modern-day Lunt Fontanne, and we love that so much. Like, it's, and I love, would you, Orfei, would you ever consider playing Elphaba?
Bad question.
Next. So, what I will say is, you know, I'm thinking about this, thinking about the role swapping, and, you know, I love that you guys have shared the stage so much together. It's incredible. You know, we should be so lucky. And I'm thinking, I have seen just about all of your many of your shows. And yeah, I mean, I saw Legally Blonde twice in one weekend because I was 16 and obsessed in 07. 16 and obsessed. And that's actually how, you know, going through, because Lindsay Nicole Chambers is a client, Leslie Kritzer,
absolutely.
You know,
some
these
of my
people,
favorite people you just mentioned.
Exactly. And like, you know, I photographed you and we're new friends. And I, you know, when the industry shut down, I was like, what's my way that I can maybe keep the industry alive, keep the industry alive for me? So I went through my playbills and the first one that I opened up to was Legally Blonde, and it was completely covered with signatures. And it flooded my memory of teaching Nikki Snelson, like our lingo that we were having at Frenchwoods. Like I was in love with this boy that I saw one of the shows that I saw, he was sitting right next to me and like tried to hold his hand. Like it was like a flood of memories. And you guys are a part of that. Like that's, you know, it's so beautiful to have you guys on the show because that's what it's about. The memories that you share together and can share with us, and we could do the same. So
thank you. That's so nice.
Thank you. Yeah. You try to remember that for every performance as an actor. You're like, okay, we're creating a memory that will live forever for somebody. You know, some days it's just sort of in the back of your brain, but some days it's right there when you see somebody in the audience who's just eating every word and the audience. Yeah. It's a great night. So I think that's, you know, that's great. I'm glad that we had the effect on you.
Yes.
We had that upon us from other points.
I obviously would have died to see Saturday Night Fever, but I missed it. Growing up in Florida, it just wasn't, you know. But I am like the biggest Footloose fan. Like, I played Chuck Cranston when I was 10 years old. I was 10 and I played Chuck.
That's like perfect.
Obsessed.
I've seen video. It's very
Chuck,
obsessed
Chuck
with the show.
Was a 10-year-old.
It was Billy Hardung, right?
Yeah, and he was great. He was awesome. Yeah,
that's amazing. Oh my gosh!
I love how much you two have worked together. It's such a special
it's a
special
gift.
Thing.
It's a gift. We've tried to work together more often. it depends on who's casting the show, if I even get seen. So,
oh, please.
That's legit. That is legit.
Yeah.
We have one more little fan question for you. I realize after I type this, you technically already have one of these, but pretend it's the sequel. Broadway figure skater wants to know, if you had a show created about your life slash relationship, what would it be called? So you already have Legally Bound. What about the sequel, maybe? What's the sequel?
Still Legally Bound.
Okay. Great. Or it's all about the package.
It's all about the package.
I love it.
The reason we're still married.
Yeah.
Oh. I love it so much. I can't wait for you guys. I hope that you guys get to do Legally Bound again at 54 Below. I'm sure you will.
Yes.
After the pepperoni panorama, whatever we're experiencing. And after that's done, I'll be at 54 with bells on, because I haven't caught that yet. So I cannot wait to catch
it. You have to see it. It's fun. It's fun. And we had, you know, the tragedy. I mean, there's so much. So this is the least, I mean, we you know, whatever. But we had a lot of dates booked that are postponed. So let's hope the postponements actually come through and, you know, big theaters in the across the country, you know, that are booking concerts. You know, we had a lot of those lined up, and we were so looking forward to bringing it to everybody outside of New York, San Francisco, and LA. And, you know, I hated having to disappoint them, but it'll all come back.
It'll all come back. And thank you to everyone who just asked a question. We always take fan questions every show. So for our future guests, if you just hop on to My Broadway Memory on Instagram, that's a great place to ask us questions. And yes, follow us at My Broadway Memory. We announce our guests. We do features on our guests. And please ask us questions that we will ask on air. And also, if you are watching the show right now, if you comment, we will put the comment on air. So if you have
if it's a good comment,
our producer Alan will. Yes, Tina Kravitz, thank you. Saw Legally Bound twice at 54 Below.
Yes,
two more times than me, but I will soon double that. I promise. How about the Carl show?
Also, okay.
Okay, good okay. idea. Good idea. So yes, thank you for keep commenting.
Please.
And we'll share your thoughts and questions. So
all right, we're now gonna do our go-to activity. So we'll have each of you, we've already kind of started doing it, but we'll have each of you discuss some of your more specific Broadway memories. So this can be done in a numerous amount of ways. It can be done by pulling a playbill from your collection at random, discussing a memory associated with it. It could be based on a piece of memorabilia you have, or it could really just be a fun and interesting story that some of our viewers have never heard. So anything goes. Michael's going to do one as an example, and he pulled a great one.
So I will say, I think I'm just going to tell the story of Altar Boys, just because my whole point is that like every playbill has a story no matter what. But this is signed by all five original cast, all right, which I was, I think, 14 when I saw it.
Wow.
And of course, totally like had a massive... What?
Oh, I want to see the cover.
I had a massive crush on, you know, Tyler, because I was like, I'm gay.
You're Catholic.
But right. Except I always wanted to sing the song, but I felt like, I don't know, everyone knows that I'm just Jewish as hell. So yeah, so I mean, I could change the lyric to "I'm a Catholic," but then Patti LuPone would be mad because then I changed the lyrics and it's not the author's intent. But that's a whole other story. So, Altar Boys. I remember it was that time when I was like, when Broadway, off Broadway, the theater district started to not be a distant dream anymore. It was like, you know, the Hanukkah presents, the birthday presents were, I want to go to New York and see shows. And I also thought that I was so damn cool that I was seeing an off-Broadway play. I was like, you know, as soon as I was introduced to the cast album of Bat Boy or Last 5 Years, when I was 13 or something like that, I was like, yeah, I know that you love Rent, but like, here's Bat Boy. Like, you know? And so that trip, I remember seeing Altar Boys, Forbidden Broadway, and really sort of going like, starting to ask those early questions about my place in the industry and like, you know, those early seeds of like a career, not just like being on Broadway, but having a career in the theater. And that's what Altar Boys means to me. It's those first memories of that this could be a real, that this could be a real thing. And I loved the show so much.
Oh, so good. It was the best. It was the best.
Yeah, I think Off-Broadway, that was actually the show that Jerry Mitchell saw me in and said, I want you to be in Legally Blonde. Like, you want to, this is before we, like, they were still doing the workshops and stuff like that. So I was playing with like 10,000 other characters in Legally Blonde. So that show gave a great showcase for so many of those actors, including Tyler. So it was great. And another connection, Bat Boy, written by Larry O'Keefe. Come on. So there's, and Legally Blonde happened. Come on. So many things can happen as part of the same world. You know, off Broadway to Broadway. It's, and I worked my ass off in an off Broadway show.
Yes. Oh, look at
you guys. There you go.
Amazing.
And great performers, everybody, Ryan Duncan, Scott Porter, Tyler Maynard. My God, all those guys.
You look so badass.
Yeah.
You're like, I love it.
Costumes, you know.
I love it.
It was amazing. I loved that show so much.
That album is great. Too.
David Joseph.
So good.
Oh, yes, it's so good. It's so good. All right. That's what I did tonight. That's what I chose. So you could share your memory however you want. So that's how it goes. And
Orfeh, you want to go first?
Orfeh, would you like to go first?
Here it comes, folks. Get a good shot.
Bring it closer. Is that you and Cher?
Yes, it is. I know my audience. I know who's watching this.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, you're getting the light on
it. I'm getting the light on it. There you go.
There it is.
So was the after party of the opening night of the Cher show. Cher is my godmom. I grew up with Cher and Chaz. Chaz and I went to high school together. So she's kind of raised me from a wee thing. And for
what?
Yeah, I never talked about it, but people always thought I was making it up. I'm like, you know, do your fact check. Chaz and I went to high school together. Chaz and I lived together when we went to high school because they only had a residence in Los Angeles. So Chaz and I were roomies back in high school. And I think that when everyone saw Andy and I in the VIP section, it was the gag heard around the entire city. So it only took 20 years for people to stop saying, oh, she's making that up. Because one would make up being tight with one of the biggest global icons in the world.
You kind of can't believe it until it happened. Like,
but
even
it happened.
I was like, yeah,
but
I've
you
seen
knew,
pictures.
But,
I know.
You know.
Oh, my goodness.
Then we go back and you're just like, there she is. Okay.
And may we just point out that both you and Cher are fierce just first names. May we just say
yes.
That?
You know, because that's how we roll.
I love it. That's fierce.
So
that's
my favorite Broadway memories. And the cast was so brilliant. The show was so great. I wound up seeing the show 3 times. So it was just, Stephanie Block was amazing. Everybody in that show was amazing. So it was a really fun night for us. It was, you know, we were in Pretty Woman. We had the night off. So it was just one of those things we'll never, ever forget. So that's one of my favorite, like, well into my career, you know, a decade plus into my career, that was one of my favorite memories.
I'm so obsessed with that.
And she Cher could not have been happier. She could not have had a better time.
She just seems really cool.
She is.
Yeah, seems amazing. Yeah, now,
if you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
There's the experience of like watching your best friend or a family member make their Broadway debut, you know, and be so proud. But what was it like watching a personal story of someone that's huge, that their story is now blasted on the Broadway stage and you were a part of it.
Yes.
You What was that like to see?
That's a very, very interesting question, Michael, because you literally have to suspend your knowledge of the chronology. So I was happy that there were twists and turns that I didn't kind of see coming. You know what I mean? Because I know the story better than, you know, anyone knows the story other than the people who really, really lived it. So, like, for me to be able to go along for the ride just tells you how great the show was. Because I wasn't like nudging him going, that didn't happen, or that was what it was, or blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? I was just the whole thing. And so was everybody that, you know, we were all there. Elijah was there. You know, Cher was obviously there. Cher's sister, Georgianne, was there. Cher's best friend, Paulette, was there. And we all were able to just kind of step back and be like along for the ride as if we were hearing it and seeing it all for the first time. And that's what makes great theater.
It was very visceral.
Awesome. You know, you're just like, I don't know anything. And seriously, did I once say to you,
you said, that's true.
Yeah, that what I would do, be like, yeah, that's word for word. You know what I mean? But it was.
I'm going to name drop also. Kim and Kanye were like two seats
that
out.
Night right there.
It was
like
one of
the
those,
way
like,
we are, that's how Kim and Kanye and.
What am I watching?
It was crazy.
I could watch that or I could watch this.
Well, sometimes it's really wonderful to watch someone watch something well. It's a whole other story.
That's right.
What's your favorite Cher song?
In my life? Oh God, there's too many. Honestly, there's too many. But I like the stuff I heard as a child that I would stick my hairbrush into the mirror. You know what I mean? So that, and then in modern times, I think I love the burlesque stuff.
I love burlesque.
Here, you know, I've been down on my knees. You know that?
Yes,
that's a good one to warm up to. If you can sing that, you're okay for the night.
Oh my goodness, you all look fabulous.
Yes.
We were working hard to look fabulous that night.
Oh, beautiful. I don't know if you all saw Mamma Mia 2 in the theaters, but may I just say I no shame loved Mamma Mia, both of them. It was so fun. And the second one specifically, depending on who was in the crowd with you in the theater, but it almost felt like we were at a drag show and we were all just like singing along. And when I tell you the entrance applause that Cher received when she came up the stairs in that movie, in the movie theater.
But that's kind of it always, you know?
Always.
Always, always. And so it should be, as it should be.
Oh man, that is a wonderful Cher impression. Also, might I add, I was transported.
Yeah,
that's tip of the iceberg.
She asked me to do impressions of her because she loves them that much. Like that. That's how pretty uncanny, if I may say. I'm being humble again, by the way. So I can do a pretty spot on Cher impression.
Thanks, Samantha.
Thank you, Samantha.
We all have the best hair.
So does she acknowledge Chad Michaels? Does she ever talk about Chad Michaels of Drag Race royalty, like the number one Cher impersonator? Like, I don't know.
I'm sure they all have. I know
good.
What you're talking about. So I know who you're talking about. So clearly it has been wildly acknowledged.
Thank you, Orfe. That was amazing.
Oh, what a
I
fun
love
story.
It. So, Andy, you're up.
Okay, yeah. You know, she brought out that one. I'm bringing it out. We're dropping the celebs.
We're dropping all the celebs, the legends.
That's a little Dolly Parton moment. Can you get it in focus? So she makes Christmas cards. I worked with her twice, and she sends Christmas cards to...
Every year.
...to folks, and she's like the coolest... woman, like Cher, it's like it was people. You're just like, oh, you're cool, and you're really a sweet person. I got to work with her in 9 to 5, the musical, and then I did a movie with her, Joyful Noise, like maybe later. Which for no reason, like not because I knew her, just I auditioned for it and I knew the director as well, so it was kind of I was like, hey, Dolly, good to see you again. Nice to work with you again. Totally cool and sort of I getting swept up in that, like I sort of wasted on me in 9 to 5 because I was like, I couldn't register that I'm working with Dolly Parton. I'm just kind of like, I got to do this thing. And she wrote a song for my character. So I got to sing an original Dolly Parton song for this whole show.
Wild.
It sort of doesn't hit you until much later, where you're just like, oh, what? I did that with one of the greatest stars that there is out in the world, and sing an original song. So I cherish that memory so much, and we've worked with some really great people, and but yeah, she's the number one on the list, is the coolest, and she writes Christmas cards.
What an honor, amazing. And the fact that she still does this. May I just say, I love the opening numbers at the Tony Awards. I always look forward to seeing what it's going to be. And was it 2009, the 9 to 5? I believe 2009.
Must 2009,
in my opinion, is one of the best Tony Award.
It's a great opening.
Openings, because there's so much. You have Aaron Tveit and Stocker Channing singing to each other, the mashup of Pal Joey and Next to Normal. Ah. They combined the West Side Story and Guys and Dolls into one.
Craig Bierko nailing it. You have Bret Michaels getting whacked in the face.
Oh, my God, that's right.
Had other questions.
That finished it up, right? That was
And then you have Lauren Molina trying to dance with Liza Minnelli, which is great.
But the fact that Dolly sang 9 to 5 in the opening, it was right. It just gives me chills. I love it when like musical changes or key changes give me chills. Because right before the 9 to 5, it was Shrek singing "Let Your Freak Flag Fly," and they go shine, 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 dun 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 dun. She comes. I'm getting chills thinking about it. Right.
Yes, the beginning of that song, the beginning of 9 to 5 is probably like one of the classics.
Legendary.
If you just clicked it on right now, we'd all be like,
I'm out of bed until the get.
It's a funny story, like on
a great Dolly Parton impression too.
Thank you.
Oh yeah, I can't do that.
My nails are gifted.
opening night of previews in Los Angeles for 9 to 5, set broke down. Who comes out and just holds the audience captive for the next 20 minutes while they're working on this thing?
It's amazing.
Dolly Parton singing whatever you want. I Will Always Love You. All your favorite hits. Talk about an audience that was like the happiest they had ever been in their lives. Like, they didn't think they'd actually meet and see Dolly right then. She comes out and she knows what she's doing, man. She's a pro. She's a monster.
Major.
I love that.
I don't know if you all saw this. I believe today, I'll pull it up later because I don't want to get on my phone right now, but apparently there was a bill in the Tennessee state legislature that was about getting a statue of Dolly put up somewhere. And she like came out with the statement being like, I'm so honored. And this is so sweet, but I think there's just other things that we need to focus on right now rather than a statue of me. Let's focus on those other things, maybe later, but we appreciate something like that. But that's just the kind of person she is, humble.
And that's why she's Dolly Parton and we are not.
Right, exactly.
Hey, don't spoil the fantasy. No,
right.
Well, no, but really, the one of a kind, unique, absolutely should be a living legend and a national treasure as she is, because she's like, I've always said, like, all the very biggest stars I've ever gotten lucky enough to meet, they are the nicest, most humble, wonderful people that you will ever meet. They're not tripping. They're not like, oh, I'm so famous. How dare you? It's uncanny. It's a no-fail system. The biggest stars I ever meet are also the nicest, kindest, most humble, generous people. You know, I haven't, like, hung out with all of them for hours and days and months and years on end. But first impressions, I kind of feel like you're getting what you're getting. And it's unbelievably a no-fail thing that I've kind of gotten my whole life.
Yeah, you just have to lead with love, you know, no matter who you are, right? We've got so much love in the comments for Dolly as well. I also saw someone who is begging for an Orfe cover of You Haven't Seen the Last of Me.
Yes.
I will tell you, the comments are going off for the cover.
Yes.
Of it, so,
also, I haven't seen Joyful Noise, which I will watch, but I just know the poster is right next to the boys' bathroom in Telsey. So, so I would go.
Comment of what you're hearing coming out of the bathroom?
All right, now.
Come on.
Hey-o.
I love that.
I think the only thing I walk away with from that is like I have an incredible dance break end of the second act when we're doing the big concert thing. I do this like, well, was it fresh off Altar Boys? It was maybe like a year or two after Altar Boys. And they're like, you can dance. So they sent me out and I was like, well, what if I do this jump, split, crazy slide floor thing? And turned out great. Probably one of the most expensive shots in the movie. They told me as they were doing a crane shot. I was like, great, awesome. And something that I probably can't do anymore. I probably can't do jump
split. Where did it go? I know, I'm just kidding.
Ryan, speaking of Altar Boys for a second, Ryan Duncan just texted me. We're trying to coordinate to do like a walk in our area. But because I sent him a picture of the Altar Boys playbill, he said March 1st is 16 years since you opened.
That's where the jump split left.
16. Wild.
Yeah. Wow.
I do have a personal question because I wanted to be there so desperately for this, so desperately. The live filming of Legally Blonde, because like, was it enjoyable for you as it was for us to watch, or it could have
the time of
okay,
my
cool,
life.
Good,
it
yeah,
was probably one of my favorite nights of the entire experience from start to finish, rehearsals and to closing night. Closing night obviously was sadder; it was just as frenzied and insane. But
yeah,
that was the most fun. That crowd, I cannot imagine that Bon Jovi in the 80s had that kind of a crowd.
Wow, yeah, it's amazing.
They just had more people, but our 2200 people were giving you all of the like biggest rock star fantasy you could ever wish for. It was amazing.
Constant energy. I mean, you could even feel it watching it on the TV. You know,
it's
it was
such a great documentation of the show. It holds up to this day. It's absolutely incredible. Absolutely. I love watching it.
I wish they had made a deal for more than six viewings and that it could be somewhere other than just YouTube at the moment. And it was really something people could purchase or watch, or they would air it again. But they were very specific about the parameters of what it was and what it could be. And it was the first of its kind. And so, you know, I always say, call Jerry Mitchell.
Call
I always him. Tell him, I'm like, I text him, I'm like, call Jerry Mitchell, you know.
Jerry,
hello.
Yep.
Thank you, the two of you, for sharing your memories. I mean, I learned so
awesome.
Much. I love that. And thank
you.
We will have you back sharing more memories, and please, we will have you.
Thank
I mean, we could talk, or we'll just do a real double date, and that'll be good too.
Yeah.
Then we
yes,
could really
please.
Dish.
Thank
but
you.
Before
we can sit in,
we're gonna eat
yes,
yeah.
I love
them.
Yes, at the with our little fireplaces.
Before we wrap up, since it is Valentine's Day themed show,
yes,
we do want to play a little bit of the newly-ish wed game.
Hit it. Okay, friends. So it's going to be us two against you two. Do you happen to have a piece of paper and pens near you? Maybe?
Yeah, we can.
I would love
that. Yeah, go get.
Or you could use your phones. We're going to have two. Each of you are going to have your own pen, your own paper, because you're going
to
see.
Okay, we need to get two pens, two papers.
I'm sorry. Sorry, last minute.
It'll be worth it.
Okay.
So here's how it's going to go. There's going to be three questions, all right, and that we're going to ask you to test your knowledge about your significant other. And Michael and I have not discussed this before, so we are being fair.
I'm blocking. Sorry.
It's okay. No, you're fine. So what you're going to do is that I'm going to say the questions. You're going to privately write down what you think your significant other's answer would be. And then one at a time, I'll lead us. We'll go around to see if what you wrote down matches what your partner says.
The
so you're writing what
yeah,
the pressure. So.
Oh yes. It is my turn. Question one. What is the go-to song of your significant other plays to start a road trip?
Okay. Should have had music for this part.
I know.
You haven't seen The Last of Me. I can't do it.
Oh, man, why am I blanking?
Oh, you're going to be so upset. Okay.
All right, I'm good.
Okay.
That was the song.
All right.
Give us a lyric.
The artist, because I know it'll be right.
Can I get my answer? Or
okay, so here's what we'll do. Okay, we'll go first, just okay. Okay, so I'll reveal what my actual answer will be, and I'll see if Michael matched it. Okay. The song that I like to start off a road trip with is, I'm going to say, Take It Easy by the Eagles.
I mean, you eventually get
Go
there.
Your own way.
Let's go your own way.
It's the same era.
I love Fleetwood Mac. I love starting in that vicinity.
Yes, okay.
And Michael, what do you think yours is?
Mine is as much as I, well, is it the Ashoka? Is it, okay, is it Ashoka and Farewell?
No, it's not. That's, I put Hold Me by Fleetwood Mac.
Okay. See, that's, yes, Ashoka and Farewell is this, Civil War,
We're weird.
Song, instrumental song that's done on a fiddle. And it is so beautiful, and Ken Burns used it in his Civil War documentary. And once I heard it, I was like, that's my new favorite song. I'm obsessed. But that's what we listen to on our road trips because we're geeks.
I like both of your choices.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. So Orfe, tell us what your road trip song is, and we'll see if Andy got it right.
I said anything.
No, wait. Don't show it. You say yours.
I'll say what I think his is.
No, what yours is.
Write down what mine would be, or did you write down what you would
be? I wrote down what I think you would think I would be. Right.
Oh, we got it. Sorry.
You have to write down what I would listen to.
Yes. Okay. I have that right. It's the same.
Okay. Good.
Okay. Great. So, Andy, what is it? Wait.
So, okay, Orfe, what song would you say is the song that Andy would
play on a road trip?
That's exactly, yes.
Wait a minute, what she thinks I am?
Yes.
Yes.
Sorry.
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. The answer was the same two minutes ago, too.
Great.
No. Anything by Neo or Craig David.
Did you get it right?
Yes, but I wrote down Neo.
Yeah, we're going to give you the points.
We'll give you the points.
I love it.
And you know this much is true, baby.
Yes.
You have become my obsession. Yeah, that.
I love it. We'll give you the points for
it. All right, we're going to go through the rules just one more time.
It might have been his fault.
Kenzie Eckert is also saying, Orfe, this is another chicken nugget moment. I don't know what that means. Maybe you do. LOL.
I actually do. So,
what is the chicken nugget moment?
Charades.
It was charades.
Oh, love it.
Yeah.
So basically, I'm going to write down what I think Remy's answer is going to be.
This was that. Yeah. Okay, great.
And then when I say my answer, I'm going to say I think Remy would say that. Okay,
great.
Good.
Forgive us.
Okay, so the next question.
This is a hard one. So we might.
Really harder than Neo and Craig David?
I think apparently so. What Broadway musical title would your significant other use to describe themselves?
I came up with these answers and I have no idea how I'm going to answer
you
them.
This is going to be a hard one.
I'm writing down my own answer that I would think.
No, you.
No.
No. You're going to. Wait, it's Orfe.
So you need to write down
what
I would.
I know this. Thank you for your interpretation. Okay.
Maybe I need to just explain it better.
No. We're right. We're just.
We're all in the same. It's all, you know what? It's all good content, no matter what we do.
Okay.
Okay. All right.
Hold on. I'm just going to do this.
All right. So I'll say what I think mine is. So if I had to pick a musical to describe myself, what I think Michael wrote down to be funny, because I tend to be neurotic and pessimistic. And I think because I'm a comedian, I tend to just go lean this way. I'm going to say Les Miserables.
No. I said Funny Girl because he's
1776.
And then I thought of 1776 because he's an old man. So
Oh my God.
But that, but okay. So I didn't get the point. All right. I'm going to say Flora the Red Menace.
Wow. No, that's really
I wicked.
Wow. Okay. That's
I love
the Red Menace. Dear God, man.
I love that show.
But no one's writing that title.
I know.
No.
But that's the thing. I do listen to that cat. Whenever I have a chore around the apartment, the one time I'll clean every 6 months because he's the cleaner. But if I'm like doing something like that, I will put on Flora the Red Menace because it's just like, I don't know, the most relaxing. I love that cast album. Anyway, for those of you watching, listen to Liza Minnelli in Flora the Red Menace in her Broadway debut. Okay, so...
Orfe, what musical would you use to describe yourself?
Yes.
You ready?
I'll have that answer.
Okay. He makes the answer.
What would you
think?
Yes.
You answer it, and then Andy has to try to match that.
Right,
I got you. Okay. How I describe myself.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, I wrote
what did you say?
And then I wrote Trailer Park.
Oh, that's funny.
Wait, Orfe, what was the answer? You said I didn't hear you.
Footloose. Oh, I love that.
All right, and Andy?
I want to say American Idiot just to be funny, but...
Oh, it's funny.
I'll say Rocky.
No, that was the obvious answer that I crossed out.
Of course.
Yeah.
We'll give you half a point.
Saturday Night Fever.
Yes.
Okay.
I worked a long time. Definitely Saturday Night Fever.
No one gets that point.
No one gets that point. Yeah. All right, last question.
Okay.
Last question.
Here's the last question. What is your significant other's guilty pleasure?
Okay.
I got this one.
I don't got it.
Thank you again for being so accommodating with the rules. I apologize for the confusion.
We got the first one. That was easy. I know.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
I'm going to say that my guilty pleasure, in general, it don't reveal it yet. In general, it's sweets. I have a huge sweet tooth. But there's one, well, I'll say what I was going to say, but the one sweet that is my guilty pleasure is cookie butter.
No, I was thinking like more on like a.
Joni Mitchell's not a guilty pleasure. I am not guilty of Joni Mitchell at all.
But I feel like whenever you're like really feeling deeply, you're like, I'm gonna listen to Blue.
I do that proudly. but when I have cookie butter, that's a downward spiral.
Okay, true.
All right.
I'm gonna say very long showers.
Yes, long ass showers.
Wow, that's so cool.
Somehow, this might be a problem with the two of you.
Oh my God.
It is.
There's a long time, and there might not be any hot water left. And
remember how he said that I'm the cleaner?
Yeah, he is the cleaner.
All right. Andy, what is your guilty pleasure?
It's booze. Come on. Booze or coffee?
What's your drink of?
Snacking?
Yeah.
Okay, that can be booze and coffee can be a snack. Well, I'll give it to you.
Yeah,
definitely his snack.
We'll give that to you.
Yes.
What's your drink of choice?
What's my drink of choice?
That's my drink of choice.
Anything that's liquid. I love tequila, but I also enjoy the bourbon.
I love the bourbon,
but I stay away from it. You know, for a couple weeks because I'm just like, you know what. Pandemic, enough of that. No, it's all hot chocolate.
Ashunda, you shouldn't have.
There's no home.
And gorgeous Orfe, what is your guilty pleasure?
Movies.
Wow. Well, yeah.
Movies.
Oh, no, it's definitely Sex in the City. I should have written that down.
That's a movie.
Every episode by proxy, by the way.
That is a movie.
Yeah.
But,
well,
you know,
But you didn't write that.
I did not write that. Occasionally. And this is a very guilty pleasure. And this happens very rarely. She has a cigarette.
I do not have a cigarette.
I have one every like
20 years.
One every year, maybe. She's like, Give me a
this is the bourbon. Shh. This is the bourbon that he is not quite. I have in your whole life, have you lies and propaganda?
Liza Minnelli, lies.
Liza Minnelli.
It looks like you're having a cigarette tonight, though.
I don't have any cigarettes in my life.
It's going to be like, it's worse than your long showers, trust me. This is going to be, we're going to be arguing about this on the. You told people I. Yes, I did.
Well, on the bright side, you two won the newlywed game.
Yay, because points don't matter.
I'm going to become a smoker just for that one.
Unfortunately, we do have to wrap up. This was so much fun. Thank you for watching today.
Yeah, thanks for watching today. I'm so thrilled that you guys came on.
Truly.
Thank you so much.
I'm smoking gloss. That's about how close it gets.
We'll have you guys on again. There's so much to talk about. Our next show, for those of you watching, is 2 weeks from tonight on March 4th at 7 p.m. right here on BPN. And we are so excited that we are going to discuss with Eric Lieberman and Christine Ebersole.
I mean, legendary. They're both incredible. And I'm sure they're going to have a wealth of stories as well. And we're not going to be playing the newlywed game with Christine and Eric. Was reserved.
What is the common denominator between Andy Carl, Orfe, Christine Ebersole, and Eric Lieberman? It's the Niederlander.
Oh. I was like, I have no idea.
What'd you say?
It's a large theater.
Darling. And
I was in Patti LuPone's dressing room.
You were in Patti's? You had Patti's?
Fierce.
Love that.
Which was, I think, Wilson Heredia's back when it was rent.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, you were watching off-Broadway shows.
Yeah.
Yeah. So remember to follow us on My Broadway Memory on social media for more updates. You can follow Remy at Remy Germanario and me at the Michael Kushner. But
before we go, we like to do a little group picture. And I think we already have
the pose. What it is.
Let's get your Sharpies, get your pens, and we'll do a little fake cigarette.
Ready? 3, 2, 1.
Oh my
Perfect.
Goodness. Thank you so much to Orfe, Andy, Christina Bianco, co-creator Brian Sedita, Josh Freilich for composing our theme song, and Laura Bonacci for our theme song graphics.
Yes, we'd also like to thank everyone at Broadway Podcast Network, Alan, Dory, Britt, Katie, Alan for engineering this episode. You're amazing.
Bye. Thank you too.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.